look at Cult TV from the year 2001 and before. And today we're here with Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
Why, hello.
Alex.
Hello.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. And today And we're looking at Daria. Gypsy, this was your pick. Why did you pick Daria?
I just want to touch on the fact that I love how fake our hellos are every time.
My hello is not fake.
And I guess in a way it's like, so people can put names to the voices, but the voices that we put on at the beginning sound nothing like what we talk about in the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it's like, and Angus, hello. So I've wanted to touch on that for a while.
Yeah, no, I've thought that as well, but
it's actually very, very appropriate. Yeah,
it's very appropriate for Daria. Sounds like a Daria observation.
Yeah, it is. Not much to say. It's a great TV show. Yeah.
And anyone who says anyways can get stuff.
Yeah. No, I think it's a really good TV show. I definitely think it's something that early teens, female teens of all people, should definitely watch. Because even now, it's relevant. It really is.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear this holds up.
It does. Because I watched it when I was young, I think like 8, didn't really get it. When I hit high school, I watched it again, loved it. It sat with me very well. And then there's 7-year difference between my little sister and I. So when she went through high school, I'm like, you're having a rough day. Watch this, because I think this will help. And she watched it and went, yeah, this actually does help a lot, because it helps go through a lot of the feelings, because you're trying to work out who you are. And I don't know about men, males, anything like that. I'm only really being able to talk from my own views, but I think it's a great way to try and find yourself and help you work that out. I think if it was revamped today, they'd be able to touch on, and not problems, but a whole world of new topics and stuff like that. That would be amazing.
Social media alone would be.
Social media alone, let alone the Alphabet Mafia's uprising as well, that would be an amazing one for them to talk about. The LGBT.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know all the letters. But yeah.
So Daria has a bit of a unique personality, doesn't she? She's a bit acerbic.
She's
cynical.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's how everyone looks at her. But I think she just has an unbiased view on the world. And it's a clear view as well. She sees what she wants. And she accepts the reality that it is. She literally just sees it in black and white. While most people kind of like put on a face to deal with it, she doesn't. She just goes, why does that have to be the way it is? I don't agree with that.
She calls a spade a spade. Let's not pretend this is not happening. This is how it is right now.
Yeah,
it's more a show that I'm not going to go along with what everybody else is doing just because you accept me to.
Yeah. And she calls her parents out constantly, like a 5-minute conversation with me and you think you know exactly who I am. It's like, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how I feel. You just are talking to me in between calls, which is a line that you'll see in this episode, I think.
Ah, so what is the episode we're watching?
I don't know the name of it. This is the one where she gets contact lenses and it's kind of like there's a line between Daria becoming vain and being herself. And so she's got to work out where she wants to sit and find out why she wants to sit there and that sort of thing. It's a really nice, this is who I am and I don't give a shit.
I don't know if I remember that episode, but I used to love
this
show.
So you have watched this before?
I have watched, I've definitely watched Daria, and Daria is my era, like, this was mid to late
90s. So it was 90s. In 97.
Yeah, mid-90s.
So 2002, so.
Yeah, I was Daria's age when this came out, so this was absolutely my era, and a lot of people in high school used to compare me to Daria, so.
I can't imagine.
Dark hair, the glasses, the sardonic nature, the dry sense of humour, this was me.
That's why I started watching it again, because my dad was like, wow, you're acting so much like Daria, and I'm like, oh, funny.
And the funny thing is, my sister was very much like Quinn. So can you imagine? This just was very much my life.
Who's the younger sister?
Yes.
It's the vainest person.
She was... Oh, she... Yeah. No, and...
She's
my sister
clever,
wasn't
but she's
that
evil.
Bad, but she was, my sister was very sporty, blonde, perky, peppy, and I was very, you know, F the world. So,
Angus, have you seen Daria before?
So I saw one or two, like, not even episodes, but like when I was younger, I think I was late primary, maybe early high school, it bored me to tears. I couldn't sit through an episode. It wasn't my thing. I watched it recently, a couple of years ago. I've seen it all now, once or twice even. And I genuinely found it hilarious and really, really good. It didn't hit on the same level on that kind of instructional sort. I couldn't relate to it.
So this was shown on the ABC, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And when was it shown? It was just before Doctor Who?
Yes! I don't think Doctor Who was on at that time. It was on when Doctor Who would have been on.
Right, yeah. So you didn't see it then?
It was that prime time era.
It was on later.
But it was initially on MTV, I think.
Yes.
And it was a spin-off from Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, was it a spin-off?
Yes.
Daria actually makes a appearance in Beavis and Butthead. Jesus. And she got such well-reviewed in it that she walked away with her own TV show.
Yeah, she was a recurring character.
Oh, really? Yeah. And see, I mean, both obviously very MTV influenced, but very different. Very different characters. It's almost like Daria in that hemisphere would be like the smart one between these two buffheads watching TV.
And then, I don't know if you've seen BoJack Horseman?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That is the influence for the female.
Diane Nguyen.
Diane, yeah. That's the influence for Diane is where Daria would be now.
I love it. Although Diane's less acerbic.
I don't agree with it, but at the same time I like that Daria influenced her, like right down to what she wore and how she acts. It's cool.
I don't think
a lot of people compared me to Daria, but I don't think I am very much that person now. I think, you know, as a person she would have grown and matured and lived her life a little bit more
and possibly become self-destructive like all humans do.
So,
Alex, have you seen this before?
Yeah, I was watching it. I'm between Lisa's and Gypsy's age, so it's kind of almost old enough to be in that era, but not quite. So it's kind of a bit outside my area because I was like 2 years away from high school. So I was kind of a bit too young to actually get into it properly, but I still enjoyed it because I could kind of understand where she was coming from because I was old enough to recognize how fake the world can be sometimes, but not necessarily in terms of everything she was going through because I wasn't in that world yet. And I realized when I reached high school that I was too meek to basically act like Daria at the time. And I knew that kind of the world is fake sort of thing and almost being smart alecky about how the world works. But I wouldn't be able to act the way Daria does because I'm not very much of a stand up for myself sort of person. So it's more, I would have liked to have been her, but I was not.
Yeah,
I'm more the meek nerd sitting in the corner.
Jeanette, have you seen?
Watched a few episodes with the kids, and of course, unfortunately, they weren't interested. I really liked it, but they were too young and whatever for it. So it was a little bit frustrating because I would have liked to have watched it more than I did.
I don't think I ever watched it. I probably saw that it was on occasionally, and that was it on MTV, but never really. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm in for a treat, I think.
Oh, and another thing is they're looking at making a Jodie series.
Yeah, I heard that one. Yeah. I think also focusing it on a woman of colour would be a particular nice change as well.
Jodie is one of the women of colour, well, the only woman of colour in this series.
Actually, it would have been one of the trio. Was it three girls who hang out with Queen? One of them was Asian, and then a few
Yeah, that's a good point. That is my
It's more like, say, recognising, say, remember one scene.
She is the person that was supposed to represent African-American people within that school.
Because I remember one scene where basically her and the only other black students end up being voted homecoming king and queen. And they're acknowledging, they're only doing this so they don't seem racist. And seeing a few scenes where she's not quite as cynical as Daria, but definitely, I'm treated differently because I'm black and I know this. And I have to basically keep this face because otherwise people will treat me far worse than if I was a white student.
Yeah, that's the problem. Jodie has to be the best of the best of the best because she wants to be the role model for any other young African-American girl. For her, that's what that means. And so she's really well written. She does get a moment to go, you think this is fun for me? I mean, this is crap. And she gets it a couple of times, which is really nice.
So she doesn't just have the pressure of being good. She has the pressure of representing and being a role model for all of the other girls girls that are coming after her. Yep. Yeah,
and she wants to follow in her father's footsteps of going to a specific university afterwards that's a bit more relaxed and laid back, called Jordan, and instead she has to go for another place that's like, Harvard. She has to go for the high expectation. Her parents have got high expectations for her because of their background, so they need to be the best. Yeah. And it's sort of a heartbreaking...
It's a little bit of fourth wall there, because as a character, she's also representing.
That's the thing. Yeah, whereas Daria carries, like, all of this weight on her shoulder of, I need to go to this place, what if I completely mess up, sort of thing, and fail and don't go here. And at the end of it, there's a beautiful moment where her parents go, that doesn't matter, so long as you're happy.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best thing her parents have ever said to her, because it ends up going into mental health and the fact that her parents fought over her being different and weird and so cynical at such a young age. And they've just gone, it doesn't matter. We're used to you seeing the world the way you see it. We just want you to be happy in whatever facet that is, which is a nice ending for her, but not for Jodie in a way, which is a bit heartbreaking.
Yeah, so Jodie... Has it been made, or...?
I think maybe it is.
It was talks. It was about two years ago, 3 years ago, that they were talking about doing it.
Yeah, acquired the rights. Okay, so I guess we'll get along and have a look at this episode, and I'll experience Daria for the first time.
It'll be interesting to see where people lie, as in, like, you know, like Angus was saying, I didn't relate to it. Whether you relate, don't relate to it because it's female orientated, or people don't relate to it because of age, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see where people fall.
And see, and see if the 90s aesthetic and ideals actually fit today, because... Yeah, because I do remember a few scenes that are basically the idea of... I think one scene, she said, I don't want to wake up at 40 realising that I've got a terrible life because I chose a career at 15.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, having a career, that sounds like a nice idea. Thanks, Daria.
Excuse me. I've got
to be dead. Okay, so we watched season 3, episode 1, which was Through a Mirror Darkly?
Through a Lens
Darkly. A Lens Darkly, that's right. Yeah, that was a bit of an exercise in introspection. Makes an art of it.
Yeah.
I think every episode she makes an art of introspection.
Yeah, she really does.
So the whole episode was about her getting contact lenses and surviving
the process. Episode was her kind of coming to grips with the fact that she can be vain, and that is okay, but that's not who she wants to base herself around.
Yeah.
It's okay to care about your appearance. It's and it's okay to change your appearance to something that you like more.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're selling out as a person.
And it doesn't change who you are. Like, this is that still resonates with me now, because I wear, like, goth clothing and stuff like that.
I'm going to get a mohawk after watching that.
Or, like, I dress in, like, pinks and stuff like that. But, like, no matter how much you change your look and stuff, it's not going to change the inner you, the you-ness inside.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I had this exact same experience. So I've had glasses since I was about 8 or 9. I think I was in year 3 when I got glasses. And I got contacts. I tried contacts once and it was awful. Like, it was literally like what they did there. They held it down and opened my eyes and it was like Clockwork Orange. And then when I was getting married, it was like, okay, yeah, I should wear contacts on my wedding day. So got the contacts, had the fitting, learned how to wear them, all the rest of it. And I look back on those wedding photos now, and it's not me. It's not me in those photos, because I'm someone who wears glasses.
That's the thing. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. I went through the same sort of feeling of, like, working out whether the glasses are who I am and things like that. And I totally believe it. Yeah. Like, you see better in a lot of ways, and that's who you are.
It's part of my identity. I've been wearing them for so long.
Yeah.
They are who I am. And when I see pictures of myself not wearing them, it's like a stranger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun for, like, a night or whatever. Like, it's okay to be that sort of different-y kind of person. Mm. And everybody automatically goes, wow, you look so great without glasses. They will always do that. And it makes you feel so self-conscious.
I actually really like glasses.
Mm.
When I was a kid, because my school friend wore glasses, I desperately wanted to wear glasses. I thought that was just so cool, and I felt like I was really missing out because I didn't have glasses.
I think it must be different for blokes, because I don't think I care one little bit either way.
No,
you're used to wear contacts.
I did wear contacts for a little while just to try them out, and I didn't like it.
But men aren't marketed to care about how they look. It's basically you have seven different t-shirts to pick from. What color do you want to buy today, sir?
Yeah.
Whereas with women, it's like, this is the current thing. If you wear glasses, you're a nerd. You're not, you know, a normal person. You have to wear this shade of color during autumn and this shade of color during summer and stuff like that. Like, we are constantly marketed to all the time that, like, to find your own identity and to express who you are is so hard. It actually is, because in a lot of ways you want to fight the norms and be your own person as opposed to being defined by what fashion companies and social media wants you to feel. So you have like a very different experience because you aren't meant to care. Yeah. Not anymore. Men back in like the 60s and 40s and stuff used to wear zoot suits and dress up and do the whole like actually care how they look.
Yes, they did.
But then over time, men stopped being marketed to.
You look back through history, say the Tudor period, men's clothes were more lavish than women's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and showcasing the wealth. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was showcasing wealth. So people dressed to showcase their wealth. And it was
I was going to say the upper class did, but the lower classes would have just been. Them. Yeah.
But then again, there's also the sense of the lower class trying to ape the upper class as best as they can.
The other thing is, as well, which I always find interesting, is if you look into the animal history, like birds, for example, male birds are always beautiful, flamboyant, showy, kind of like. Check me out.
The peacock.
Yeah. And even female birds are just like, I'm going to have to look after so many freaking eggs, aren't I?
Yeah.
They're emus, because the male emus are the eggs. I love that.
But, like, that's almost the opposite of what society's like today, which I always find interesting.
I think marketing is really beginning to hit men now.
Yes.
Yes, finally.
Definitely more so.
Yeah.
But there's still not that. It's not a huge deal. Like, we'll go out somewhere and I'll get all glammed up and I'll look fantastic and I'll do my hair and my makeup and whatever. And my husband will put jeans and a t-shirt on.
Yeah.
That annoys me. Yeah.
And then spends the whole time complaining about how long it takes me to get ready. And I'm like, dude, if I just wore jeans and a t-shirt, I wouldn't mind. I know you wouldn't mind, but... You know, it's like
society.
Yeah, I can't not just throw on jeans and a t-shirt and no makeup and no hair and But then I guess it's not in my nature. You know, there's times when I want to be comfortable and just wear jeans and a t-shirt, and times when I do want to glam up. You know, and there's guys that will put a lot of effort in, and that's fine. And there's guys that don't want to put a lot of effort in, and that's still fine. But it's not the same for women.
No. It's
okay. So are all episodes of Daria conversation starters? It looks like it.
Absolutely. Arguably, yes.
Yeah,
I think so, yes.
Because we're all chatting about the content of the show, what it actually said.
Yeah.
And, they do all say something.
Yeah,
they all say something.
Yeah.
About something.
Yeah.
It's a TV series that, from my impression, from the what I saw, it was about things.
It is.
It's never shallow, is it?
No,
it's not shallow.
It's always deep. Yeah. It's always got some meaning behind it that actually, when you think about it and reflect on it, it will resonate in a way with what is happening in society, what's happening with yourself or even a friend. And just, it's a good eye-opener sort of TV show.
I remember really wanting to watch it as an adult. They were engaging stories. They were thought-provoking stories.
They're really good. And I think the episodes with Mr. O'Neill are always the most interesting.
The teacher.
Yes. Mr. O'Neill is like the perfect comic relief because he sits there trying to be like super uplifting and really like going, yes, go you sort of thing.
Trying to be profound and just be.
But he's just not.
He wants to be Dead Poet Society, but
yes,
he
really
he's just
does.
A dorky teacher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Misses the point.
Yeah, he completely misses the point, but his heart's there. And I really, really like that about him. The other thing, I actually really wanted to touch on this. So Daria was reading a book called
The Cherry Garden.
No, The Chess Garden.
Oh, okay.
It's an actual book that was out. It's called The Chess Garden or The Twilight Letters of Gustav Unterhoven, which is this guy would send letters to his wife and they had chess pieces in them and she would display them as they arrived. Apparently it's an amazing story. And I know a lot of people have said on forums that they go to Daria if they want a reading list. Daria has got an amazing reading list of things. And she's always reading something different, profound, intelligent, and they're just thought-provoking books.
And I think that kind of adds to the character. They've not just made up a book. It's like, no, this is who she is. You know, she's very intellectual. She's got a certain taste, and it's reflected in her reading material, which is good. Yeah.
I kept trying to read the title of the book, and I thought
it was The Cherry Garden. Yeah. I didn't see Chess. Because that's another book, isn't it?
Cherry Garden is a play.
Ah, there you go, yeah.
Can we find the Daria reading list online somewhere?
Probably could. There's a whole heap. There's like your classic Great Gatsby's and things like that, but then there's also these weird, obscure, unknown ones.
Okay, so, you know, that was the first time I've seen that.
So how did it sit with you being both a male and not seeing it beforehand, really?
And not being a teenager.
Because you're like, what, 100 years old, dinosaur-worthy?
I believe I'm a dinosaur now. So I thought it was quite amusing for the first lady to watch. You know, so I love her sense of humour, the dry sense of humour. And, you know, she's just continually taking the mickey out of the people around her in the driest possible way. And that's really good, I thought.
That appealed to me too. I watched it, it was the dry sense of humour.
The content, I mean, it didn't quite apply to me, obviously, but, you know, you could see that, yes, that would be issues. But, you know, mostly the sense of humour, I think.
What about you, Jeanette? Because you're similar age to Justin, possibly even the same, minus a couple of weeks.
Plus a couple.
Yeah, how does it sit with you?
I really enjoyed it. I think those issues, I guess, at my age, still care about how I look. I still, you know, worry about what I'm wearing. And so I think there's issues that remain relevant throughout your life as well. But I, like Justin said, enjoy the dry sense of humour. And she's a character I could relate to because she's always walking around with a book like I was in school and being picked on for reading books that other people thought were too old or too obscure. So, yeah, I could relate.
I think there's an episode where Mr. O'Neill gives her a reading list and she goes, I've read all of these. And O'Neill's like, oh, how about you write a book then?
One of the disadvantages of this, because this was the DVD version, wasn't it? And it doesn't have that stellar MTV 90s playlist that used to be such a great thing about it. And I think to be able to see those episodes with the songs in there would be such a snapshot in time.
But they had songs prior to it, or just during
And in the end credits, they tend to have certain songs, but it looks like they've replaced them.
But even in the background, it was the classic
MTV show. So, like, back in the 90s, you guys would be pretty aware of this. Every damn show would always feature a band of some sort at the end of, like, everybody getting together going, woohoo, we're at the pub, chilling out with the Red Hot Chili Peppers just casually playing behind us. Sure, why not? Whereas Daria did that in just their music that they would have in the background.
So basically any time you saw us in transition with music playing, that music would normally have been licensed music, but they couldn't because of the DVD release.
So they've replaced that music with more copyright-friendly music. Yeah, copyright-friendly. So, which it has the same sound, but one of the things that I was really looking forward to with Daria tonight is that real snapshot of the mid to late 90s. That was my era.
I can't find those versions.
No, you wouldn't be able to get them. But it's, I just remember watching the episodes going, oh, I love this song, I love this song, I love this song, I love this song. And they used to play a lot of Cake. There's actually a Cake song called Daria.
Oh my God, I love that song so much.
Yes! I love that album, you know. So there's so many of those songs on those episodes that just brought me back to my zeitgeist, brought me back to my time.
It was definitely a way that people were able to find good music and random music as well.
I'm sure there are people who might have taped off the TV and can get some kind of, because again, there's nerds who've done like despecialized Star Wars pickles, so I'm sure I could find like the original, what the song could have been.
And there must be someone there that's doing that at the moment.
Because they've taken the 90s music out, it's sort of, I guess you've lost something, but also,
it's gained something because it's not aged it.
It's not dating.
It's lost the nostalgia part for me, but that makes makes it more relevant for people watching it today because the music that they're using is, you know, timeless. It sets the scene, but that sets the scene for a show set today as well as a show set 25 years ago.
You know, the absence of social media and stuff.
It also removes the intrigue of the music being played in the background to what's actually happening in the show, I think.
Yeah. Nothing there seemed to pin it solidly to the 90s.
Only the fact that they don't have smartphones.
Yeah, they don't have smartphones, but that's about it.
I think also the fact that the Gen X style of aloof hero, not hero, but like Petco character feels that the kind of thing that only in the 90s was created.
Oh, okay,
You can say that.
I would have watched that and not even, you know, if I didn't know when it was made, I would just assume it was made last year.
I was very happy that I didn't side with the parents like I did with Freaks and Geeks.
I don't think there is a change in opinion. You always end up being on Daria's side because this is my go-to. This is like my little slice of paradise when I don't know what to watch or whatever.
Yes.
And I've, like in SpongeBob, I am Squidward. I've accepted this. But in this, I completely vibe with Daria and, well, probably more Jane, but still, nonetheless, I vibe with the kids in it still and haven't just grown up and sided with the adults.
I don't think you'd have to really grow up and sit straight aside.
Really
sad grown up.
Possibly a few of those about. Okay, so holding up, it seemed to hold up fairly well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think so.
Mm-hmm. What would you rate it out of food?
Oh, no.
I'll give you some time. Food it.
Yeah, and like, let's not do it out of 7 3/4 because that does my head in.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like the perfect reason to do it.
You're a monster.
The most enduring, daring 90s food.
90s food.
But it's timeless. It's a timeless show.
It's a timeless show.
It's a timeless show, so you need a timeless food to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, you do...
Good packet of potato chips.
Yeah.
And a bowl on the couch watching Daria.
Yeah, every single episode they go up to the same pizzeria and just have a slice of pizza.
I totally agree that pizza actually makes this show better.
Yeah.
But didn't we rate something bad because of pizza once?
No. That was pizza a couple of days old that had been left in the fridge. This is
fresh pizza. This straight off of the delivery with garlic bread.
It's American pizza. It's got no topping and it's a bit floppy.
Oh, and I always like Australian pizza when I'm eating it, but I never like it like a few hours later. I always feel a bit sick.
Yeah, but it's in that moment.
But this is your rating,
it's
not mine.
As you're eating pizza.
This is good life pizza. It's healthy and wholesome.
No, you want a nice, comfortable, unhealthy pizza that you're just happy to eat.
The final line in one of Daria's episodes is, there's no moment in life that can't be improved with pizza.
Oh.
Yeah.
It has to be pizza. I gather it would be pepperoni.
I think it's whatever pizza does it for you.
I'd like to hear what everyone's favourite pizzas are, because I automatically go Meat Lovers, but then I know that I'm probably the only one who's a big fan of Meat Lovers. So
I love Hawaiian. There's Chico Palms pizza that does fungi. Like, it's a mushroom pizza. It's amazing because they put, like, all the mushrooms, all the delicious cheeses on it.
See, I wish Mackenzie was here because I always say to her, what do I say about pineapple? It does not belong on a pizza.
That's incorrect.
You are wrong.
I totally agree.
Polarizing.
Polarizing
argument. I'm not a fan of Hawaiian.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to be. But for me, it does.
Yeah. It's your favorite.
All the boxes.
I think it's also definitely as well, like, I do not like olives or onion on pizza or anything like that. And almost every pizza you get has some sort of combination of flavors I don't like on pizza. Or don't like in general. Like olives? No, please, no. So there's old Hawaiian and margarita are usually safe.
Margaritas are absolutely amazing. With the, like, New York base, because it's, like, really thin and crispy, wood-fired margarita with the basil over the top when it comes out. That's a good choice. That's a very good choice, my friend.
Yeah, and if they get the flavors right, it works by itself. It doesn't need all the ostentatious of 75 different toppings.
Yeah, exactly. They just go too many toppings.
Guys, Hawaiian or Meat Lovers all the way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a fan of pizza, but
it's the Swiss mushroom.
Swiss mushroom, or one that just has loads of sort of vegetable olives, artichokes. Sun-dried tomato.
Like the vegetarian pizza.
Justin, how about you?
Oh, pepperoni and capsicum.
Pepperoni and
yeah,
capsicum?
I do not like capsicum.
I should probably mention Why limit yourself to just one meat when you could have all the meats on the pizza?
He's just not that way inclined. Yeah. That's the thing.
Like fresh pepperoni on pizza, the oil just soaks into the dough and stuff. It's amazing. It's so good. Fantastic. When we do homemade pizzas, I usually have Hawaiian and then just throw pepperoni on top.
Yeah.
Now, have we finished talking about Daria?
I think we have.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe. I just want to segue. We've talked about it before. The shows that used to be on before Doctor Who, at that time slot, we've talked a lot about Doctor Who being on, the goodies being on, another show that used to be on. Monkey Magic is now on Netflix Australia.
Fantastic.
And I'd love to bring it through as one of my suggestions. However, I showed it to my daughter and she was not impressed, and I can't bring you another stinker.
We love Monkey on the loose from the get-go.
The power of Monkey is irrepressible.
I was going to say, actually, these slightly racist speech patterns that they use for the dubbing is kind of a bit off.
Yeah, it is a bit off, but yeah. But it's a good show.
The 80s.
Yeah.
But segue again. They're making a new version of the Winx Club. I don't know if anyone knew that.
Yeah, no,
it's...
Trashy, like
what
kids cartoon. It's about fairies.
Yeah,
it's a thing about.
It's
a
already
fairy
out,
girl.
Isn't it? It's a live action one.
It's live action. It's like the Winx Saga, and they've made it so much cooler than what it was. It used to be power of me kind of thing. Like it was all woohoo, but now it's just very edgy and dark.
It's become, by the looks of it, very young adult.
It's very cool looking, like very, very cool.
It's gone from like 7-8 year old child to young adult.
It's called the Winx Club.
No, that's what it used to be called. Now it's something that's a part of the Winx Saga.
Fate the Winx Saga.
It's on Netflix.
I saw it, it can't be, it must be the same thing. Because it's
exactly
spelled
the same thing,
but it's like a gritty reboot. Riverdale and, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, I think we've got too many of the gritty reboots. Because, I'm hearing about this about to do the Powerpuff Girls reboot.
Live action reboot. Because they look like they pulled the Powerpuff Girl costumes out of, potato sacks. And they just kind of, painted the potato sacks. That's one of the big things. They haven't really rebooted it in the way that people... the Winx Club is rebooted because it's different.
It's been refreshed.
Yeah, it's refreshed. The Powerpuff Girls have gone downhill with their reboot because it's not fresh.
Mm.
It's just three really thin women, one with fake boobies, I think. That's me being a dick, actually. And one with larger boobs than the rest of them. And they're just... fighting crime like the regular. They've sexualized the
Powerpuff
Girls, and I don't
like
it.
They're supposed to be kids.
Yeah,
they're
meant to be like.
They're supposed to be girls.
4 years
yes.
old or something.
It's
like
Powerpuff
four.
Girls.
I have no clue. I've never seen it.
It looks terrible from what I've seen.
Which is weird because Powerpuff Girls had a major resurgence, with the same people, with basically bronies.
They went back and started adding to the Powerpuff Girls seasons. They realized that it was so well received because they brought out one new season that they've gone to make a live action one, but they've completely
muffed it.
Yeah.
We're watching the cartoon versions, and Kenzie loved it, but I don't know. I'm not feeling the live action one, but I tend to always get a bit nervous about these live action. One of them's from Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's the only...
They legitimately just look like they've put no effort into the costume.
Mm.
They've kind of left it with its basic lines and shapes and then the knee-high socks, and I feel like you could have actually done a lot more justice to them.
Because at least, with the Power Rangers movie that they made, the live-action one they made, 4 or 5 years ago or something, I never watched it. But they did. They refreshed the outfits. Yeah. They changed the look of it.
And
I don't think
what you will about the Batman reboots, but they continuously refresh the bat suit because it needs to change and feel
modern.
Like it fits within that area. Yeah. They're not doing that with the Powerpuff Girls.
No. It's a nostalgic thing.
Yeah. Mm. They're doing what Star Wars did and trying to hit home on those.
Next? Jeanette.
Fair boys.
It's Angus's pick.
It's Angus's pick.
Good night, sweetheart.
I'm a bit excited about that one.
Oh, it's weird. I've heard about it vaguely in a vague list.
I'd be curious to see what episode and season you're going to go for. So this I'm
wanted to go with the first episode.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of going with first episodes for TV shows because I feel like they set the scene very well. However,
but then it's hard because the first episode is the first episode. It's kind of pilot, and some of the best episodes. Some of the best episodes tend to be when the show's in run mode.
We'll look at that next time.
Okay.
On Cult TV Club.
On Cult TV Club. Okay, so yeah, that was Daria. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh. Hey! Glowing.
Yeah.
And it even was a pizza. Yeah. And a milkshake.
I think slice of pie is the appropriate wording for this one.
Pie is American.
Yeah.
Okay, so goodbye from the Cult TV Club.
Yeah.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
See ya.